I guess we are scattered. It's all right. I can still reach to the back if I need to. Thank you, Junior, for those words of prayer. I would make you aware of some changes. As of July, I'm no longer an overseer officially as such, although I still do, I'm still doing some church managing, I should say. I guess it's called that. Pastoral encouragement, helping pastors in their duties, responsibilities. Have one church has no leadership, pastoral leadership, and so that calls for a little more activity there for me to be involved with. That's in Tennessee. And having served the years that we served, that I served in that area, it seems like it doesn't want to go away, even though I don't carry the title. It's still, I still get phone calls and a lot of questions, a lot of things that we deal with. And of course, the we are in the middle of a lot of things in church, conflicts, responsibilities, things that go on in life. It seems like it's just part of life, yet it's, I sometimes wonder why, you know, is it different? People ask me that a lot of times since I'm older and it been through a lot of different stages and things in church work. It seems like that's been all I've done all my life. Starting at 25 as a pastor, it certainly, now I'm 80, and so that's quite a span there that to work in. So I've made the statement already that it hasn't changed. I think back in the early days of pastoring, the difficulty that we experience in church life and work. And then sometimes today we get the idea that life is so complicated. And it is. I mean, it is complicated. I wouldn't downplay that. But then I've made the statement that it hasn't changed from in the years. And when I think back of the church life that we lived, the complicated relationships that went on, and then church splits, church problems, new churches, and all these kind of things that we did, and we thought that was really bad. And I there's one memory that really, and I wasn't involved in this, but my wife is a teenager. In the church that she was in, I didn't get her permission to do this, but she'll get over it. She was a teenager in the church she was in, and I remember that there was a real battle. It was a really bad thing, and it really affected her. And her attitude and her thing about church. And of course, then I met her later and helped her out and got her straightened out, and that it made everything better. So, but we still have that same thing going on today. And so I'm saying, is it all bad? That's the question. I don't know. I do know this, that these kind of things can make, it's kind of like the persecuted church. And I as I studied for this sermon, I began to think about realizing that it seems to me that the persecuted church would understand this better than I do. And I'm trying to understand it, and I don't know that I do. And I don't know that I can relate to you what I want to relate to you and what I want to say to you this morning. I'm not sure, but I noticed that the train of thought that was following, that I followed, and I was, whenever I preach, that's what I do. I follow the beginning, and I want to, I kind of follow a thought. And Brian, you started off with the right thought. I mean, you took me right where, and by the way, if you don't mind, I would like for you to close with the hymn 847 again, the one you led and start by right in the beginning. When the storms are raging, as some of the words are in that psalm, there's a raging thing that goes on. And I don't know that we understand some of the raging things that are around us. You know, there's a lot of things that we're dealing with every day. And so I want to talk a bit about, do I know him? And I would rephrase that, and that is a scriptural statement, do I know him? Paul said this, he said, I want to know him. And I'll be taking that from Philippians chapter 3, if you care to go there. So I asked the question, do you want to know him? Or do you know him? And how do you know him? There's some of these words that how we play with them is, and I'm gonna really hammer that. How do you know him? I'll let you meditate on that. How do you know him? Probably not like I'm gonna explain or what I'm gonna say to you. Or if you do, you know him probably better than I realize. And when I say him, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus. And we say every day we want to draw closer. We want to be more like him. Do we really? Do you really want to be more like him? Do you really want to know him in that context? There was, again, I will say that the persecuted church would understand those words better than I do, or that I can explain them to you. Philippians chapter 3. Actually, one would have to read the entire chapter. I'm not going to, but that would be the scripture that I would recommend. 1 through 21. Is the scripture that would bring out the whole text. The verses that I want to draw from are verse 9 and 10. And it says, to be found in him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And there's the word, that I may know him. Now, it's a lot bigger than what we're seeing here. I want to know him. I want to know, this is Paul's words. It's not coming from me. I'm quoting. I'm not sure I want to say this without the quotation. Paul is saying, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Now, I would say that we would all agree in union that we would all enjoy that. The power of the resurrection. That's a positive. That's upbeat. That's the kind of thing we want to know. We want to enjoy that. The power of resurrection. That's life. That's everything good. That's no darkness, no negatives. Everything is right. Everything goes right all day. It's like the brother said in our Sunday school. That praying in the morning for safety during the day, traveling a lot, at the end of the day, thank him for safety. That sounds like a very, very nice, put together day. Nothing went wrong. Everything was beautiful. Everything was right. Nobody honked the horn at you. Nobody pulled out in front. Everything is fine. You weren't number one. All of that good stuff going on. Everything beautiful. Is every day like that? Well, resurrection, if you think resurrection, just resurrection, you could say that. But he goes on to say he wants to enjoy the fellowship of his suffering. He wants to be made conformable to his death. Now absorb that. The fellowship of suffering. Conforming to death. That turns the picture, it turns it around. Now it's upside down from where we were. Resurrection, beautiful. How did the resurrection happen? We could go there and we could decide that there had to be a death before a resurrection. Now, he's got it the other way. He starts with the resurrection. He wants to start there. Well, I can't deny that. I would agree with that. I would love that. That we start with the resurrection. Let's forget the death part. That's not where it's at. Now, if I branch out a bit from this, and I would go to Matthew 5, and I find there the Beatitudes. I love the Beatitudes. There are 9 of them. And there it says, blessed are you if you mourn. Well, those of you that have experienced death in a family member, someone that you love close, maybe you've had a miscarriage. That's a real serious thing for our ladies. Death of a parent. Death of a spouse, death of a child. These are very difficult things in our life. We speak from those who have walked in this thing would understand that meaning, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be what? Comforted. Makes sense, doesn't it? It makes a lot of sense. If you mourn, if you're sad for a biblical reason, then you have the opportunity to experience the comfort from those who understand. Makes sense. There's a lot of things. Blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. We just had a seminar in a convention where the speaker, that was the verse, but they took it in the context of moral relationships, moral behavior. It was good. We're living in a time when there's a lot of immoral around us. Dress, for example, is becoming quite immoral. I mean, it's just nothing hid anymore, nothing covered. Everything's uncovered. It was a men's meeting, by the way. We didn't have any ladies. They weren't allowed in our room. We locked the doors. Didn't let them in. And they were quite curious about it. What did you guys do? Well, we talked. But I took that. I could take that same verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think, just quickly, that God is visible not as a person, but in our things more than we realize. And we see him more than we give credit to. I'll leave it there. But he says in the later part of the Beatitudes, he said, Blessed are you when men say bad things about you. Well, that's a different story. We don't like that. Blessed are you when men shall revile against you And it says there that we are to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Again, the persecuted church would understand this better than I do. It has a list of things in that context about suffering, about the fact of fellowship of the sufferings, the being made conformable to death. And Jesus, by the way, the word blessed has been known to mean happy. Now, I recently hear that they say, there's some commentators who say that that's not correct, that it is more the idea of being at peace, peaceful. I think you can go either way. I guess when we understand the word, when we try to understand the word happy, we want to understand it in a different context than in the idea of peace. So it's more the idea of being peaceful or having peace about things. And I think that would make sense to me. And so if things overwhelm us or me, then I tend to get on the wrong side of the picture. I take the same scripture, same message, and go to Luke 6. And there he quotes same things, but in the Matthew calls that blessed are you because yours is the kingdom of God. Luke says kingdom of heaven. Obviously means same thing. They're both the same. It's a place, a realm. So would that mean maybe that we are blessed if our life is in such closeness with God as Paul is saying he wants it to be, that we would sense his presence maybe all the time? And that would mean that our life should display God's presence wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Now, Luke comes along and says something like this. He quotes the same Beatitudes, but as soon as he's done with that, he says, woe to you that are full. Woe to you that are rich. Woe to you and all of these things. Now, I would understand that some of this thing of suffering is not all the same. It would indicate to me that it's not wrong to be rich. Now, some people, I've heard people say that, you know, you don't own a house, you can't have a new car. I don't think that's correct. I think he's saying that you can be full, but if you're too full, And you can never be too full of the right things, is what I think I would say there. You can never be too full of good. But there can be a displacement of the fact that we are careless in our righteousness. Because that's what he's talking about. Right living. Living right for God. All right, let me go to my verses quick. I've got to quit jumping around here. Let me go to chapter 3, and it comes up as finally. After all these things that he's telling us in Romans 5, we're to glory in tribulation. I can't grasp all this. When tribulation is around me, I have a hard time focusing on the right things. I have a hard time focusing on that which is what God wants me to focus on. For example, when I get a phone call that there has to be complicated decisions made, it takes a lot of focus. 1 Peter 4:3 says that I'm to rejoice that I can be partakers of his suffering. Now, what is that? To me, it's like when you get falsely accused for something you didn't do. That would be one area. Have you ever been called a bigot? Have you ever been called a racist? Have you ever been... I don't see you shaking your head. Well, I have. When you deal with a lot of people, you're not... It says, blessed are you when men shall revile and say bad things against you. Well, I have to admit that when that happened to me, I didn't do that. I wasn't one that said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for let me experience that. I didn't do that. You know what I did? As everybody does, I went into the pity party. I went and tried to figure out how I can overcome that. You know, it's a wrong way to go at it. But what I did do one day, this one individual that kept calling me a bigot and a racist because I refused to give him things he didn't, or that the policy would not allow him to have. And so I was a bigot and I was a racist and I was all this. So one day, and also we disagreed in our, he was not a Christian. He was something else. And I was a Christian. So one day I met him out on the sidewalk and I said, hey, I got something for you. He said, oh. Now we always, funny thing, we never ceased to talk. It was like, I don't know why, but he called me all kinds of names, and I'd meet him on the sidewalk, and we still talk. So you would think that I would go the other way. Let's get rid of this. But I didn't. So one day I said, hey, I got something for you. And he said, well, what is it? I said, you know what? You're right. I am a racist. And he looked at me, and he didn't know what to say. And I said, I'm a Christian, and you're not. And I'm prejudiced. He used to call me, he's always saying, you're prejudiced. And I said, you know, right. You're absolutely right. I'm prejudiced. And he didn't know what to say. He said, oh. I said, I'm prejudiced because I'm a Christian, and you're not. And I'm going to defend Christianity as long as I have breath to do so. And it ended, he never did... again, ever called me a racist. I never said anything more about it. You know what? It finally takes a long time to get things right, but it finally happened. And I was glad. All right. There are six things in this verse, in these verses that are listed here, and I'm not going to go through everything because I know that you've already listened too long and you're already tired and you're trying to go home. I understand that. But there are six things. Number one is to know him. Now, I can tell you that we are not going to know him as the Bible declares for us to know him when everything is right, beautiful, and good. The resurrection does not in itself bring us to know him. I'll tell you what helps you is when you have trouble. You don't like trouble. I don't either. When you break down, and you have got no one to help you. You're beside the interstate. That's trouble. I can tell you, ask my wife. She'll tell you what it feels like because she's been there. She knows. She knows what it's like to wait on a tow truck. To be towed. Where are we going? We don't know. What are we doing? We don't know. That is trouble. That is how you might learn to know him. But you can get the other way. You can be upset.
You can blame the devil. You can be mad. You can have all kinds of other issues going on and lose the whole picture of what God is wanting to do in my life. To know Him. Or to be aware of Him. Sickness. We heard about the brother. I can assure you that if you would ask that man, he would say that God has been real close to him in this experience. Some of you have been there and know about it. Second one is power. Miraculous power. The power of miracles. Take inventory and you will soon discover there have been miracles around you. All around you. Everywhere. Then the third one, of course, he talks about the resurrection. The fourth one, in fact, I'm going to skip over that because we've talked about it. Number four is fellowship, interaction with God. Do you talk to God? Or do you just let Him talk to you? Well, maybe you should, you know how it works. If your wife or your husband does all the talking, you know how that works. It's not very comfortable. It's not very social. So it's okay once in a while to shut up. Well, I shouldn't say that. Not supposed to say shut up, are we? Mom said don't say that. Dad's going to take care of you when he gets home. That kind of stuff. Well, maybe it's okay if we shut up once in a while and listen. Okay? That's how we own a fellowship. Oh, you can't have fellowship, but you have to talk. No, that's not the way it works. Listening is a skill that needs to be learned by everybody. Some have the skill and it comes natural. Others don't come natural. They have to learn it. Then suffering, of course, as I said, I think that maybe suffering has different ways to reach us. Different things that happen to us. Life doesn't have to be all that hard. Because God wants to help us. It's how we view things. It's how I look at my problems that makes it hard or easy, whichever one I want to do. Conformable to His death. Well, I don't know. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read these verses in the Amplified for you. You probably won't remember them, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And that I may actually be found and known as in Him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. You see what's coming? Faith, right standing. Righteousness is not how good you are. Righteousness is not that you're such a good person. That's none of us here that are that. I mean, our standing is all in God. And our everything we have going on is with God. Verse 10. For my determined purposes is that I may know Him. Now, you've said that, and I've said it, but the minute we say it, then we kind of forget. Because He takes us right where we said we want to go, and then we don't go there. We don't recognize it. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, Jesus, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person. I like that one. More strongly, more clearly, and that I may that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. See, there's the resurrection. Power outflowing, not all of a sudden it just overwhelmed you. That's not it. Which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. I hope that that gives you some content of encouragement for this week when you face obstacles. You break down, your machinery breaks down, you men. You ladies, your bread doesn't turn out right. Children stomp mud across the floor. Whatever might go wrong for you this week, I hope you will be reminded that it's okay. It's okay. God wants to transform you into his image. And he might just do it in a way that you weren't expecting. You may have secretarial issues. You may have computer issues. You may have whatever issues, whatever you're doing this week. And you may think that I'm retired and I'm not doing anything. Well, come on down. Follow me around. We'll check it out and see how you do. There's stuff going wrong all the time. All the time. Now, I'm not perfect. And I don't know why. I absolutely struggled with, am I going to do this? I did not feel like I wanted to get up here and make a dunce of myself, and I don't know that I did, but I kind of felt that way. You know, I don't preach much anymore, and I kind of feel scared when I have to get up here. So God bless you for being a good audience. You listened well. Thank you. Come on, let's get up, stand up, and sing our song.
827.
Remember the words. There's a raging fire. Life is what it is, but God is in that life, and God wants to bless us and purpose us. Father, we're glad for your presence this morning. Thank you for being here with us and just making your presence known and the way you help us. We realize that life is complicated sometimes, but you are the giver of all good things. You help us. You make life good. You redeemed us from the curse of the law. The righteousness that we have is of you. Our faith is in you. Our love for you is growing. We want to be more like you in everything. And we fail so many times. And please forgive us for being so selfish and so acclimated in our own things that we need to be more careful and to allow you to be more real in our lives. Thank you for the people that are here. For those that are not here, would you care for their needs too and bless them too? Take care of their families and whatever they have going on. There are those that are vacationing, they're camping, they're family visits. There's lots of things going on. Please care for them and watch over them too. And help us to have a beautiful day in all that we do. And we do ask and say it in Jesus' name. Amen.